good morning. 8 minutes after 6 o'clock, you're listening to the Joy Cardine Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. Nationally, only 4% of firefighters are women, and there's a similar gender disparity in policing and emergency medical services. We're going to talk about that this hour with Jen Ramon, a captain in the City of Madison Fire Department. She's also a volunteer for the Girl Scouts of Wisconsin Badgerland, which is holding an introductory workshop for women interested in the protective services called Camp Hero for Women, which takes place on May 31st. Captain Ramon, welcome to the Joy Cardine program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Why did you become a firefighter?
Oh, that's a great question. I was looking for a job. It's not a career that I ever considered as a kid because I didn't know that it was available to women. But I always had an interest in safety and taking care of others, that sort of thing. I became a volunteer EMT, and I really enjoyed what I was doing. I went to paramedic school, and when I graduated, I needed to find a job. And at the time, the City of Madison Fire Department was the only department in the area that was hiring paramedics. But along with that came the requirement to be a firefighter, and I have to admit that I was afraid. I didn't know anything about the industry. I wasn't sure if I could do it, and I'm happy to say that it's turned out to be a wonderful 18-year career.
So I think a lot of people forget that firefighters are usually the first people on the scene for a lot of things that don't involve fires. They're first responders, and so it's not that unusual for someone who trained in emergency medical services to be involved in the fire department. It's part of the training, isn't it?
That's correct. There are different configurations of emergency services. In the City of Madison, the fire department and emergency medical is together. So every single person on our job is a firefighter and an EMT or paramedic. And we respond to everything. So, you know, cats in the tree to a full structure fire to I fell and I can't get up to cardiac arrest. It really runs the gamut.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the biggest challenges you faced in becoming a firefighter?
Well, to be completely honest, the biggest challenge was my own self-doubt. As I said, I really didn't know a lot about it, and society had told me all my life that that wasn't a job for women. So I wasn't sure, but absolutely, women can do this. As you know, anybody of any size can do this job. And you know, the other challenges were. I would say overcoming the emotion that comes along with what we do and what we see, learning ways to deal with that stress and to put it in the right place so that it didn't interfere with my own personal life and my own well-being. And there were many others as well.
How rare? I mean, I talked earlier in the introduction of the program that nationally only 4% of firefighters are women. Madison has a little higher percent. I think in the Madison Fire Department, it's what, 11%?
11%, right. And there are 42 women in our job.
Okay. And how rare is it to achieve the rank of captain for a woman?
Well, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, women that have achieved the rank of captain or chief are statistically insignificant. There are a couple hundred across the nation, so really it's a rarity. But that just falls in line with the 4% of women in the fire service. It really doesn't have anything to do with being able to promote. It's just that there really aren't enough women to write for promotion.
Well, why has Madison done better than the national average?
I think that Madison is a special place, and of course I have a skewed view because I live and work here, but Madison has made it one of its missions to diversify our workforce. We truly believe that to adequately serve our community, that the demographic in the fire department and our workforce ought to reflect the demographics in our community. So we're working towards 51% female. I'm not sure that we'll ever get there in my lifetime, to be honest with you, but we certainly are working towards it.
Why do you think women are so underrepresented in the protective services?
Well, I think that it's a cultural problem. You know, girls, research shows us that kids already have stereotypical views of what boys and girls can do for a career by the time they reach kindergarten. So firefighting is seen as a man's job by both men and women, and girls are not encouraged to even think of it as a possibility for themselves. So it's the seed is never planted in their mind. They're never developed as they grow up. You know, dads don't take girls down to the fire station, or I should say didn't. These days, I think that that's changing. And so when it comes to making a career choice as a young adult, girls just aren't thinking about firefighting as a option for themselves.
We're talking about the ranks of firefighters and how many women are in those ranks, and not just firefighters, but all the protective services, EMS, wondering what you think. If you are a woman in the protective services, we'd like to hear from you. Are you a police officer, an EMS technician? Are you a firefighter? What drew you to it? What challenges have you had to overcome? And do you think policing and other protective services should be reserved for men, perhaps? Why or why not? All those points of view welcome this morning. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Talk at WPR.org. is the email address, and you can also reach out on Facebook and Twitter. Tell us about Camp Hero. How did that get started, and what are some of the things that you do with girls at this camp?
Well, for years, the women in this area were talking to each other about the problem of diversifying both the police and fire service in our area. And we really wanted to do something about it. So a core group of people got together and said, you know, why don't we offer an experience to girls that at least plants the seed in their mind and opens the possibility to them? So we went to the Girl Scouts of Wisconsin Badgerland Council, who are really forward thinking, and proposed what we called a protective services camp at the time, along with a mentor network, and they said, absolutely, let's do it. So Camp Hero was born 4 years ago. It's an experience for girls in kindergarten through 12th grade that introduces them to policing, EMS, and firefighting, while we help them to develop the characteristics of courage, character, and confidence. Girls come to the camp, and everything we do is hands-on. So we don't just talk about chasing bad guys and putting handcuffs on them. They actually do it. We pull fire hose from the fire truck and advance it into the fire tower and put out a simulated fire. The older girls get to start IVs and that sort of thing. And the oldest girls actually have a visit from MedFlight, and they don't just come and visit. The girls set up the landing zone and land the helicopter. So it's really a unique and phenomenal experience, and we really see the confidence of the girls change before our eyes. They come to camp sort of in a protected sort of pose with their arms crossed, you know, across their body and afraid to talk to anybody. And then we show them how to use an axe, and we see them, you know, put their arms up in the air and celebrate their newfound confidence. It's really a remarkable experience.
Well, it sounds like it would be really exciting, and it's all day, 8:30 in the morning, from 4 in the afternoon, and it sounds like they're doing something every minute that they're there. What's some of the feedback that you've gotten, and how many of these girls do you think will go into protective services jobs?
That's a great question, and that's part of our research study with Camp Hero for Girls, is to find out just how many of them are influenced by the experience of Camp Hero into a protective services career, either as a paid professional or as a volunteer. We're not sure how that will turn out, you know, based on other interventions and experiences related to vocation. We're hoping that Camp Hero does have a tremendous influence as well. Now, when when we started Camp Hero, we heard from women who really wanted to have the same sort of experience, and there isn't anything out there for them. And that's why we decided to try Camp Hero for Women. So this is a day-long experience coming up this coming Sunday, and it's for women who are 18 years old or older, who are just interested in the protective services or want to pursue a career, and we are happy to introduce them to it.
And we'll talk some more about that, and we'll take some calls as well when we come back after hearing some news headlines from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio News. Talking with Jen Roman, captain at the City of Madison Fire Department. She's also a volunteer for the Girl Scouts of Wisconsin Badgerland, which is holding an introductory workshop for women interested in the protective services this coming weekend. 800-642-1234, the number to call to join the show. John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Why aren't more women in protective services? That's the question we're asking this hour. And my guest, Jen Roman, captain at the City of Madison Fire Department, joins me in the studio. She is also a volunteer for the Girl Scouts of Wisconsin Badgerland, which is holding an introductory workshop for women interested in the protective services called Camp Hero for Women this weekend, May 31st. We're talking to her about that and about what it's like to be a firefighter for women and various aspects of how we encourage more women to go into the field. One of the things I've been wondering, Captain, is what the prospects are for not just girls, but for adult women who decide on a career change. What should be attractive to them about being in the protective services?
You know, this is the most incredibly satisfying job that you can imagine. The challenges are great emotionally, cognitively, physically, but the rewards are also great. It's an amazing feeling to be able to reach your hand and pull somebody out of the chaos that surrounds them, and the chaos being simple or complex, we do see it all. It's also a very stable job. You know, prior to working for the Madison Fire Department, I worked as a secretary and, you know, worked in restaurants and those sorts of things and lived paycheck to paycheck. And since being employed by the fire department, I have the stability of a regular paycheck. I have, insurance. It has made a huge difference for my family. I was able to pursue higher education and complete my master's degree because of the job. So there are many, many things about the work that are and should be attractive to everybody, both men and women.
But there are barriers, and let's talk about those.
Absolutely. You know, I think that some of the barriers are perceived and some are real. One of the biggest barriers is the assumption that women aren't strong enough to be firefighters. And I want to take that one head on because it's not true. While there definitely are minimum physical abilities that you have to have, I mean, you just have to be able to manipulate a fire hose that's full of water, and there's no exception to that. But the idea that you have to be, you know, this great big giant Hulk, you know, of a person to do the job effectively, it's just simply not true. We have people of every size and shape, both men and women, on our department. And, you know, we have areas where we excel, and we never do things as an individual. It is always as a team. You know, I heard yesterday that there was some resistance to putting two women on an ambulance for fear of them not being able to lift a patient. But the truth of the matter is, if there were two men on an ambulance that couldn't lift a patient, they would just simply call for help, as we would. So, you know, the strength issue is definitely a perceived barrier. However, in hiring practices in fire departments across the nation, there are still tests that test for strength issues that aren't really needed for the job. And that is definitely a barrier for women. So we, Camp Hero for Women, will do anything that we can to help women overcome those barriers and train to be hired by a department.
Well, we have a caller, I think, who has a question that's kind of related to this, and I'd like to get Rachel in Green Bay into the conversation now. Rachel, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Captain. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I would like to say that this is a fascinating topic, and I think the work of Camp Hero is just so amazing and so wonderful for women and girls, and it's just fabulous. My question is, Captain, have you ever faced any sexism on the job, either from the community, the people that you serve when you show up to a call, or from your own coworkers? Have you faced any sexism?
That's a great question, but I would turn it right back to you. Have you faced sexism in your job, and whatever that may be? And you know, the answer is yes. We're human beings, and isms exist. And whether or not what we do with that is really what matters. Now, to get what you're really getting at, nobody has ever stopped me on my way into a fire and said, stop, you can't go in to put this fire out in my house because you're a woman. Or you can't help my loved one who's in cardiac arrest because you're a woman. That has never happened, and I don't envision that it ever would. But, you know, we grow up with gender stereotypes. We all do. And so we work together every day to overcome that and sometimes to even use it to our benefit. I think that I work with some really enlightened and forward-thinking people, and we're committed to working together, the men and women of our department. I can't speak to other departments. There are still many, many fire departments that don't employ a single woman. So overcoming those isms for them, I think, will be a much bigger challenge.
Rachel, thanks for your phone call. We have an email from Connie who says, what an inspiration your guest is to women and men. How sadly ironic that we have state legislators that are gender stereotyping by pushing pink to supposedly increase the number of female hunters. In doing so, they support the barriers your guest is working to break down. To comment on Connie's email?
Hey, that's funny. We just had a discussion about that here in the studio prior to going on the air. You know, I think that any strategy that attracts women to something that they wouldn't normally be interested in can be a valid strategy. However, you know, the propensity towards pink, I don't think is a female quality. I think that's something that's learned, right? We dress our girls in pink from the time that they're born, and our boys in blue. And, you know, my favorite color happens to be red. So
I wear pink all the time.
Excellent.
And I don't have a problem with that, but it's depends on skin tone, I think.
Yeah.
800-642-1234, the number to call to join our discussion this morning. Jen Roman is my guest, captain at the City of Madison Fire Department. I want to talk a little bit more about Camp Hero because I want to make sure there's a clear distinction here. The Camp Hero, that's May 31st. This is the Camp Hero for Women, and that's different from the Camp Hero for Girls.
Correct. Camp Hero for Women is for women 18 years old and older. And we're really trying to reach out to everybody. So whether you're interested in a career, either volunteer or paid, or if you're just curious about what police and firefighters and EMTs do, you are absolutely invited to come out for the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Day-long, introductory kind of thing, and you'll be connected with other women who are working in the industry to guide you along if that's something that you're interested in.
All right, let's take another call. Jerry is with us from Milwaukee. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning to you both. I have a two-part question. What percentage of women, both in Dane County and state, and for that matter, the nation, are minority women in the firefighters? And is that being addressed? And B, the same question regarding minority men.
That's a great question. I am not aware of the state of Wisconsin statistics, so I can speak to the city of Madison. In the city of Madison, we have two minority women on our job. One is African American and one is American Indian. And our percentage of African American men on our job matches the population, which is right around 18% here in the city. The Camp Hero program absolutely appeals to minority kids. We've worked with other agencies in Dane County and the city of Madison to make this available and accessible to all girls. We realize the tremendous barriers that already exist, and so we are just tearing those down. We offer financial assistance. We make sure that our materials are available in multiple languages and that we have volunteers who speak other languages. And we've been pretty successful with that with Camp Hero. Nationwide, that's a great question. I don't know the statistics, and you have challenged me to learn some more. Thank you.
Jerry, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. I'd particularly like to hear from women who are in the protective services. What drew you to it, and what challenges have you had to overcome? Or perhaps from people who don't believe that policing, EMS, firefighting should involve women at all. Maybe that's your viewpoint. Let us know why you think that. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. talk@WPR.org is the phone number. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Look for the Joy Cardine Show and leave your comment or question there. My guest is Jen Roman, captain in the City of Madison Fire Department and also a volunteer for the Girl Scouts of Wisconsin Badgerland. And they're holding a workshop for women, Camp Hero for Women, on May 31st. So that's coming right up. So how many people do you have signed up for this weekend's Camp Hero for Women?
As of last night, we have 7 women signed up. We do have 30 spots, so we'll take registrations through the end of the business day tomorrow, Thursday. If you're interested, please sign up. Just go to our website, campheroforgirls.org. It's a very, very easy sign-up process.
And there is a cost involved.
Yes, it's $50, and the $50 covers the cost.
All right, campheroforgirls.org. And I assume we have or will have a link to that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, so you can find it that way, too, if you want to. So, Captain, what qualities do you think make someone a good firefighter or a good candidate for other protective services jobs?
I think first and foremost, a person who is caring and compassionate. You really have to want to serve people. That's what the job is all about. Honesty, integrity. Those are absolutely the most important characteristics that somebody can have, and it's what we look for in our employees. The strength, and whether or not you've gone to firefighting school or paramedic school, is secondary to those characteristics and traits. And those are something that we really can't teach you when you're in fire academy. Those are things that you need to come to us with.
800-642-1234. We have Angie with us from Duluth. Angie, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Go ahead.
I was just calling to reaffirm what your guest speaker there is talking about as far as rewarding. And I myself am a paramedic. I'm not from Duluth. I'm just in that area right now. But it's a very rewarding, challenging, yes, but rewarding field for women. And we do need to increase our numbers, definitely.
Angie, let me ask you a question, if you don't mind. What drew you into the paramedic field?
I actually have My father was a paramedic, and I have an uncle who is a firefighter and paramedic as well. So it's kind of been in the family, and I, as a child, was always interested in it.
So you had a lot of support from your family for your career choice?
I did.
Okay. Angie, thanks so much for sharing that with us. Captain Roman, I would, you know, Angie's a case where she has a lot of support from her family. Is that always true for women who want to go into the protective services field?
No, it's not, actually. You know, in my case, my parents made me believe that I could do whatever I wanted to do in life. But even after I became a firefighter, my dad still voiced concern over my climbing a ladder, for example. But to flip that around, I have a granddaughter who is 7 years old now. And when she was very young, her assumption was that every fire truck belonged to me, every single fire truck, and that you know, there is nothing strange or unusual about a female on a fire truck. And so her perception and her experience will be completely different than mine. And as the number of women in the protective services increase, we will see that. We'll start to see generational impact in women going into the protective services.
Well, my wife has concerns when I get on a ladder, so, you know, nothing strange about that. I don't get along that well. Let's take another call. This time we'll go to Osseo, and Bruce is with us. Bruce, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. I got a question to ask. I got two nieces. They're nurses. But it seems like it wasn't challenging enough. They went into volunteer firefighting. You know, they love their work, working with people. And now this year they just went to a, I forget what they call it. I think it's a fireman's challenge thing they had here around the Indianapolis area, or it could be up in Wisconsin. I don't remember where it was at, but they want to try out for that the next time. Do you find yourself challenging yourself to for other things? This is directed to the captain there.
Yeah, I do. When I entered the protective services, I really had an emergency medical services focus. I knew that I liked that, and I knew that that was one of the things that I wanted to do. So the challenge for me has been to branch out into the fire service, which also includes, you know, hazmat mitigation, and we also do technical rescue and scuba and all of those things. So it is a constant challenge. Every day is a constant challenge, you know, and technology and research changes every day. You know, my perception of firefighting used to be that it was just, you know, big guys who ran into buildings and didn't know what they were doing. And that's not it at all. This is a technical field with lots of challenges in it. So if you're the type of person who likes that, come on to the protective services. You'll love it.
Bruce, thanks so much for your call. We invite others to join Bruce and talk to us about and ask their questions, make their observations about our topic this hour at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. What are, Captain, what are the challenges of the job regardless of gender?
Great question. So the first thing that comes to mind is sleep deprivation. We work 24-hour shifts and are expected to respond during every minute of those shifts. And that can be really difficult for everybody on the job. So I would say that that's one very common challenge.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about more of the challenges of being a firefighter in just a moment. We're going to take a short break and get some news headlines from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio News, and then we'll be back. Jen Roman is my guest. She's a captain in the Madison and the City of Madison Fire Department. We're talking about why more women don't go into the protective services and what we can do to encourage them. And that's what I'd like to focus on when we come back. What are the things we need to do to encourage more women into the protective service fields? I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 4%. That's the national figure for the numbers of women in the firefighting profession, and a similar gender disparity exists in policing and emergency medical services. We're talking about why that is and what we can do about it with Jen Roman, captain at the City of Madison Fire Department. She's also a volunteer for the Girl Scouts of Wisconsin Badgerland, which is holding an introductory workshop for women interested in the protective services on May 31st. That's coming right up, and there are still spots open. You can find out more about that by going to CampHeroForGirls.org, or you can find a link on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and go there. There's still time for you to register for this program. Captain, the if we want to encourage more women to go into these services, we really need to change some of the cultural expectations that we have, and that starts with how we raise our children, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, I was out doing inspections on the fire truck one day, and we pulled up next to a playground, and there were little kids out on the playground. They ran up to the fence, and I stopped to chat with them, and I said, "Hey kids, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And the little boys at the fence answered right away, and they said superhero and police officer and those sorts of things. And the little girls didn't respond at all until I pointed to each one, and then they gave me traditional answers, a dancer, a hairdresser, a princess. And I said, "So what about a firefighter like me?" And their faces just showed confusion. It was as though I had spoken in a foreign language to them. It was obvious to me that they had never even considered that, or no one had ever presented that possibility to them. So, you know, it's all of our responsibility to achieve gender equity across all vocations. So we need to work together in order to do that.
What's the role of the media in all of this from your perspective?
Well, you know, the police side of things, they actually have been more successful than firefighting. And I think part of that is because in the media, we're seeing more police officers and detectives and such that are female. When I see a woman who is working as a paramedic or working as a firefighter in the media, they tend to be sexualized. And, you know, I myself would not choose a job because of that sort of thing. So I think having real role models available to girls and to women is an important thing. There are so few of us nationwide to fill that role. However, it's a huge challenge, and we're going to do our best, you know, in the little circle of influence that we have here.
Besides the fact that women might not think of firefighting as being for them, are there other outright stigmas that they're going to have to overcome as well?
Well, I think one of the big stigmas is, you know, police and fire commissions across the nation are allowed to do whatever they'd like to do for a hiring process. And we still have hiring processes that have gender bias in them, particularly in physical tests. So my challenge is for those folks who have the power and ability to change things in the hiring practices, you know, look at what you're doing. Are you diversifying your pool of applicants and diversifying your workforce? Or are you preventing them from even getting to the starting line? And make those changes so that women and, you know, all minorities have at least an equal chance for hiring.
Well, what's a fair way to hire while also making sure that the qualifications for the job are being met?
Yeah, you know, I think that that standards are definitely important. As I mentioned before, there is a physical component to the job that absolutely must be met. But we do find you know, artificial barriers. For example, you know, can you take a ladder off the wall and extend a 35-foot extension ladder? And then the artificial barrier is, can you do it in 2 minutes and 52 seconds? Does that really matter, the 2 minutes and 52 seconds, or does it matter that you can accomplish the task? So, you know, those are things to look at, and I don't want to be judgmental, but I am challenging those in power to take a look at what we're doing and see if we can facilitate a change for everybody.
Let's take another call. Jay is with us from Milwaukee. Jay, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. My question had to do with a situation that we see in a lot of employment across America with women. There's the upward mobility issue and the wage gap issue. Is that something you see in firefighting as well?
Great question. So the City of Madison Fire Department is a government agency, and they can't pay us differently. We are paid the same. So that's a wonderful thing. Where we do see a gap is when a female on the job gets pregnant, there's a period of time where she can't work on the line. And sometimes that means that she'll have to take time off using up all of her sick time, and then when that's gone, using either FMLA or disability insurance. And what that does for a woman is set her back in her income potential and ability to promote, because she gets, you know, set back by not working. And there are strategies to improve that situation, like providing light duty opportunities if she chooses to take it. So while we don't see the wage gap, we do see other inequities that can be corrected.
Jay, thanks for that call and great question. 800-642-1234. If you call right away, we still have a chance to get you in before the end of the hour. Let's remind people again what they can expect at Camp Hero for Women on May 31st.
It is a full day of experiential hands-on learning. It's everything that we do. You can also opt out of, so if you don't feel comfortable climbing the ladder, you don't have to. It is all of the activities are run and taught by females who are working in the various areas of the protective services. And it'll be a great day to meet other people and to network and get the support that's out there for you.
Is there anyone in particular who should be encouraged to show up to this?
We would love to see anybody who has any interest in working in the protective services, either in a career paid role or as a volunteer. But this experience is also open to anybody who's just curious about it. The police are in the news quite often these days, and we would love to have people who are curious about police tactics to come out and give it a try and learn from real police officers.
Well, and we focused on firefighters this hour. I mean, that's your role in the city of Madison. What do you know about EMS and law enforcement in the Madison area? Are the experiences of women in those professions similar to your own?
Well, with the police service, about 12% of the workforce nationwide is female. In the city of Madison, 35%. Remarkable. Awesome job that our police department has done in diversifying their workforce. Now, we have a combined EMS fire service, so we don't tease out those statistics. And in our area, we tend to have combined services. But nationwide, EMS is looking at about 35% women, so we have made great strides in that area as well.
All right. And again, Camp Hero 4, that's the number 4, girls.org, is the website that you can go to investigate the Camp Hero for Women. It's Camp Hero 4, the number 4, girls, all one, no spaces there or underscores or anything like that, camphero4girls.org. Captain, any last thoughts on why it's important to achieve gender balance in these jobs? I mean, if girls just aren't interested, what are you going to do?
I think it is important to have a gender balance in our workforce. You know, we're out serving our community, and I think that in order to serve our community well, that our demographics ought to reflect the people that we're serving. We have different perspectives. We have different life experiences, and together, men and women can really make a difference and support our community and help when there's the need for us. What are we going to do if girls just aren't interested? Well, that's not the vision that I even want to think about. What I want to think about is, you know, my granddaughter's perspective. Her name is Mackenzie, and that every girl can think like Mackenzie and assume that there's a woman on that fire truck, or assume that there's a woman in that police squad or ambulance.
How optimistic are you about the future of women in protective services?
I believe that we can really make a change. We have seen it already here in the city of Madison. I think that other places have a greater challenge. It definitely is difficult to increase the numbers of women when you only have one or you don't have any in your workforce. But I am incredibly optimistic. We are creating a model here that could be duplicated in other places, and we will make a difference.
Well, you know what? That sounds like a really great place to leave it. I really appreciate you coming in at this hour of the day and sharing your story with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jen Ramon is captain at the City of Madison Fire Department and a volunteer for the Girl Scouts of Wisconsin Badgerland, and they're holding an introductory workshop for women, Camp Hero for Women, who are interested in protective services. That's coming up May 31st. If you want to find out more about that, go to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You can find a link there to the CampHeroForGirls.org website. This program was produced by Kayla Blado, on-air production by Kayla Blado as well. Christy Taylor did her usual outstanding job of providing direction this hour. More to come on the Joy Cardine program after 7 o'clock. We have our big question. And then coming up tomorrow, well, we'll have something exciting. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet because that would be giving it away. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.